Well, as children, we have no idea what actually happened to us. We know that something wrong happened, and we know that all of a sudden we feel depressed and suicide and want to isolate ourselves.
In many cases, the victims are shamed, like a rape victim might be shamed, like another victim of some other form of abuse might be shamed, almost to insinuate that it was somehow your fault. It was not, of course, but mm-hmm. how big of a struggle is that among those who have survived a trauma like this?
Shame and guilt are a major driving factor in being able to come to terms with this. When these things happen to us as children, we absolutely feel that we were involved in it, that it was partially our fault. And often abusers convince us that we have to remain secret and that we were an active participant in the abuse. And as young children, looking to adults for guidance, help, attention, love, we believe them. And that becomes part of our consciousness that we live out of.
One of the biggest problems that faces the victims is that they think they're alone, that they're the only one that's been through this.
That is absolutely true. I speak to victims often who come forward and tell me, thank you for speaking up. I thought that I was the only one who went through this. And there's a certain kinship that comes along with being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. We have the ability to truly understand what the other ones are going through. And we truly know how to understand how to listen and to bring comfort in the moments. We just need to share our story at a certain point in time of our healing.
Is that the icebreaker once the victim understands that he or she is not the only one?
That is one of the icebreakers. There are many different icebreakers that we have to go through to be able to heal from this. When we're traumatized and don't know how to react, many of us suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. So we are children living in the cloud of post-traumatic stress disorder. And we build mechanisms in a way that only a child can to defend ourselves from what we now perceive as a very dangerous world. And so all these layers of defense mechanisms and tools we use to survive build up around our trauma and the core of our abuse. And as we age, we develop more defense mechanisms and we end up turning to drugs and alcohol. We end up involving ourselves in dysfunctional relationships. We struggle with building and sustaining careers in different ways. We feel very disconnected from the world around us, disconnected from ourselves. And so when we begin our healing process, we have to start unraveling the things most troubling in our lives at the time we begin it and heal those issues and slowly go back through time to get to the abuse, the core of our abuse. And only after we solve some of our very fundamental problems about how to live life can we address the deeper issue of our abuse and the trauma we've been living with for decades.
You've brought victims together through your organization, Williams Place. Where, if there is a uniform step one, what is that step one to get victims to come forward, to get that communication and that help?
To reach out to people who can understand, to begin the process of sharing our abuse and what it has happened and how it has affected our lives. Often when we go to family members or friends, they just simply don't have the tools to understand, and that re-victimizes us, and then we go back inside. So the first step is really surrounding yourself with people, therapists, other survivors, who understand the process of healing from childhood sexual abuse and learning to openly speak about it and understanding very, very clearly that this was not our fault, that we were not responsible for the abuse, that someone inflicted this trauma upon us, and we were innocent and young.
We have in the past year seen the rise of the Me Too movement, which has in turn created kind of a new sense of sensitivity among the public. Has the culture now shifted to a point where childhood sex abuse victims can now be more comfortable to come forward and say, kids too.
Yes, absolutely. I think that kids too is just starting to bubble up. As we talk more about the sexual abuse that exists systemically in our culture, the reality of childhood sexual abuse is becoming more important. One of the reasons for me coming out and speaking about these things is to really help people understand the damaging effects that childhood sexual abuse has on children and how it lasts throughout a lifetime. We as a society still struggle with speaking about sexual abuse in general, let alone childhood sexual abuse. So absolutely, the Me Too movement is bringing attention to the Kids Too movement, and hopefully we begin speaking more and more about childhood sexual abuse. Hopefully, people will take the time to understand what are the signs that a child is being abused, or what are the signs that someone is grooming a child to abuse them. One important thing, one misunderstanding that we have as a society, that pedophiles are the mugshots we see on television, that they're monsters. The truth is that pedophiles are very charismatic people. They place themselves within a society and gain trust of the community around them. And then they perform their abuses in quiet, behind closed doors, after building the trust of a child. And it is very difficult for a child to break that trust because of how they have been groomed.
And it's that same charisma that oftentimes helps the perpetrator defend his or herself. It's, you know, my word versus theirs, and, you know, look at me, I'm such a nice person. How could you think that of me?
Absolutely. Pedophiles have a way of hiding in plain sight, and pedophiles have a way of hiding in plain sight, and it's also very difficult for us as adults to believe a child over an adult simply because of the structure of our society and the way we've been conditioned.